Many of us who love American popular song love Blossom Dearie because she finds such interesting songs to sing and does them so well. Back in 1974, New Yorker jazz critic Whitney Balliot placed her alongside Bobby Short and Mabel Mercer as one of the consummate triumvirate of supper club singers that rule the upper regions of American popular song. New York Times music critic Stephen Holden wrote, "Her exquisite conversational phrasing gives her material the aura and rhythm of short stories." Terry spoke with Blossom Dearie in 1998. Several of Dearie's Verve recordings from the 50s and 60s have been reissued. The latest is My Gentleman Friend, recorded in 1959. We'll hear a review of it a little later. But first, let's hear one of the obscure but wonderful songs in her repertoire, They Say It's Spring.
They say it's spring, this feeling light as a feather. They say this thing, this magic we share together, came with the weather too. They say it's May, that's made me daft as a daisy. It's May, they say, that gave the whole world this crazy, heavenly, hazy hue. I'm a lark on the wing. I'm the spark of a firefly's fling. Yet to me, this must be something more than a seasonal thing. Could it be spring? Those bells that I can hear ringing. It may be spring. But when the robin stops singing, you're what I'm clinging to. Though they say it's spring, it's you.
Blossom Dearie, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much.
You find such great songs to sing. I'm interested in the story of how you found that one, They Say It's Spring.
Marty Clark wrote the music to They Say It's Spring, and Bob Hames wrote the words. And they came to me, both of them. I met them somehow back in those days, and they played a couple of songs for me. And I love that one in particular.
Now, you have a very small voice when you sing.
Yes, I do have a small voice, yes.
Did you ever try to make that into a big voice?
Oh, into a big voice. I have taken voice lessons a couple of times from legitimate voice teachers. In fact, I'm going back to a teacher now. Once in a while, once every 10 years, I go to a voice teacher, and we work on my voice a little bit, but they all say the same thing that... They tell me I'm not breathing properly. And it's very funny to have worked and sung for so many years and then someone say to you, well, you're not breathing properly. Also, I do turn to the side, to the right when I sing, and they say that that constricts the vocal cords.
Oh, because you're sitting at the piano and you're turning to face
down,
the audience.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly the breathing that they are concerned about. They say you have to breathe right in this diaphragm and work on it. And I think that would probably make my voice more powerful. But at this age, I don't think I'm going to worry about it. And I have never been a singer who could stand up and sing like a theatrical singer. I just, I sit down, and I've always had used a microphone. I have a kind of microphone technique.
Now, I think because you have a very unique voice that you often rethink songs, though maybe that's just your unique sensibility. But I mean, I love you for the obscure songs that you find and sing, but also when you do a standard, it often sounds very different than the ways I've heard it done before. And I think an excellent example of that is your version of Surrey with a Fringe on Top.
I was just going to say that.
Good.
And I've had so many requests for Surrey with a Fringe on Top that I'm doing it again after many years.
Oh, good. See, most singers, I think, do this at a kind of clip-clop type of pace, and you slow it down to a ballad.
I slowed it down.
It's really lovely.
And, when I first heard the song sung in the Broadway show, I didn't like the interpretation at all.
Me neither.
But I liked the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I could sort of relate to that being from the country, and the horse and the buggy, which is something I always liked. And so I just slowed it down to give the words more meaning. And same thing with T for Two. I slowed that way down. And Manhattan.
Well, why don't I play Surrey with a Fringe on top from one of those Verve reissues?
All right.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high steppin' strutters. Nosy pokes'll peek through the shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking. Ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that shiny little Surrey with a fringe on the top.
That's Blossom Deary, recorded in 1958 from one of the records reissued on the Verve label. Now, I know when you moved to New York, you became friends with Gil Evans, the arranger who, among other things, arranged the Miles Davis records Birth of the Cool and Porgy and Bess. You met Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. What was the impact of bebop on you? So many musicians were absolutely taken by bebop, and you are much more involved with standards and, you know, with a much more melodic style than bebop. So I'm wondering about the impact of that on you.
The impact of bebop was a great impact on me, and I knew those musicians and loved them very much. I heard Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, and then eventually I worked at the Village Vanguard opposite Miles Davis, and that was one of the highlights of my career, I think, working at the Vanguard opposite Miles Davis in that group. That was just tremendous. I loved it very much. I never was a bebop singer, but I listened to the choruses the choruses that everybody did, and the improvising.
My guest is Blossom Deary. What do you do when you're learning a song? Do you feel like you need to know it by heart? Would you go up with sheet music for a performance?
No, not sheet music. I have to learn the music first. Mm-hmm. I have to learn to play the song, get it in the right key, and I learn the song at the piano. But I have lyrics on the piano which are hidden. The piano part is just about all I can handle for the beginning of the song. Then I sort of refer to the lyrics now and then.
Why do you feel you need to hide the lyrics when you're referring to them?
Well, I don't want them shown. It doesn't look very nice, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you usually need to refer to them, or do you usually actually really
know
them?
For new songs, I do until I learn them.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the lyrics. If there's a story involved, it's easier to memorize the lyrics than just impressions and things like Peel Me a Grape. Well, I guess it took me a long time to learn that because there's no story. There's no continuity. I mean, it's just one thing after another. A love song is easier to memorize.
Well, Blossom Deary, thank you so much for talking
thank
with
you.
Us.
Blossom Deary recorded in 1998. She's soon to start performing again at Danny's Skylight Room in Manhattan. Many of her newer recordings are available on her own Daffodil label. Coming up, a review of her latest reissue on Verve. This is Fresh Air.